Hello and welcome to tonight's dinner table debate. Ever find yourself in the supermarket wondering if your choice of plastic, paper or reusable bags really matters in the fight against environmental challenges? In this episode, we tackle the big questions. Am I a drop in the ocean? Do the actions and choices of an individual consumer matter? Join this family, Freddie the dad, Beth the mum and their daughters, Zine and Bipsita, as they explore whether small actions can spark real change or if they are just drops in the ocean.
All right, everyone, we've got a hot topic for tonight's dinner table discussions. Are we just drops in the ocean, or do the things we do actually matter when it comes to the planet?
Why don't you girls take the lead?
Oh, Zing and I were actually just talking about this today. I mean, I know people say that one person cannot make a difference, but we think that's not true. When it comes to individual consumer influence, there's actually research supporting that individual decisions can spark wider trends that companies can't ignore. I came across a journal article which talks about the social influence network theory. It argues that in an information-loving society, individuals often look to each other for cues on what to buy or how to behave, rather than making choices purely based on their own preferences. This means that our choices can directly influence others in our network, leading to similar preferences or trends across social groups. And it doesn't stop with just us. Dad, remember when we got those bamboo toothbrushes to try out? That small choice inspired some of our friends to switch too. This way, if people in our networks see us making conscious decisions like using reusable bags or avoiding fast fashion, they might start doing the same, creating a ripple effect. It's kind of like how when one of us in the family gets into a new hobby, like remember when you started cooking, suddenly everyone else was experimenting in the kitchen? This way, individual choice and change spreads in social circles, even things like weight gain. Studies show that if one friend becomes obese, their close friends are 57% more likely to gain weight as well. Sure, one choice might feel like just a drop in the ocean, but all those little drops, they add up, and that's how real change starts. And this isn't just theoretical. Just yesterday, I read an article by Time showing how companies like Nestle and McDonald's changed their practices due to consumer pressure. They phased out artificial ingredients and started using antibiotic-free meat. These companies didn't start off with a green agenda, they adapted because consumers demanded healthier, more sustainable products. So, if people keep pushing for change, even the big guys have to adapt. I also read an article posted by The Guardian about conscious consumerism, a mindset gaining popularity. Traditional consumerism pushed people to keep buying, regardless of whether it was necessary. But now, more people are more conscious of what they buy, where it comes from, and its environmental impact. And mind you, conscious consumerism isn't just a trend, it's a mindset. When individuals make choices with intention, like opting for sustainable or ethical products, it sends a message to brands that sustainability isn't optional. Another article I found stated that customer pressure directly affects green innovations within companies. When enough consumers advocate for eco-friendly products, businesses are more likely to innovate sustainably to meet this demand. Forbes even mentioned that while systemic change is essential, individual actions play the first key role in starting it. The author argues that personal changes often lead to systemic shifts. If we're not living by the values we advocate for, there's a disconnect. And honestly, if people can't commit to their own beliefs on an individual level, how likely are they to push for change on a bigger scale? Oh, and in PwC's consumer survey, 85% of consumers prioritize brands that focus on sustainability, with many consumers willing to pay even a 9.7% premium for sustainable products.
So true. Let's not forget how our individual choices collectively impact the bigger picture. There is this concept of a responsible society where people weigh their own views alongside external information to make decisions. We are not just going along with the crowd, we are making informed choices that reflect what we believe is best for everyone. It's true that no single person can tackle climate change alone. Many scholars, like Elizabeth Cripps, in the theory of weak collective responsibility, argue that large-scale collective actions are far more effective than individual efforts. And it is group responsibility for reducing emissions. However, more recent scholars have started to challenge this view, arguing that climate change stems from the aggregation of individual members' acts from this group of emitters. This means that individual actions collectively can create or cease climate change, and it is individual responsibility to stop contributing to that harm. Do you know the climate scientist Michael E. Mann? He argues that individual changes, like going vegan, aren't enough to save the planet alone. Yet he himself chooses to be a vegetarian, and he's not alone in this. If we look at influential environmentalists who advocate for systemic change, like Cory Booker, Jane Goodall, and Bill McKibben, all have made personal lifestyle changes. This isn't a coincidence. These leaders recognize that while we need collective action to tackle climate change, individual actions help set a standard, inspire others, and keep them connected to the values they promote. In this way, individual actions may not solve the problem alone, but can create the momentum we need for real, lasting changes. Mom and Dad, have you noticed that many people in our neighborhood are switching to electric cars? I found that in 2024, 17.8% of new cars being registered are fully electric, with a bunch more being hybrids. And it turns out that electric vehicles emit 17 to 30% less greenhouse gas than gasoline cars. See, such individual efforts end up bringing change on a larger scale. Plus, individuals can really inspire significant societal shifts. I read the European Social Survey, which found that individuals who endorse biospheric values worry about climate change, and the more worried people have about the climate change, the more they push for policies that address it. A clear example for that is Fridays for Future movement, started by one teenager Greta Thunberg on social media, has led to millions of young people across the world demanding action from governments and corporations. It shows that individual actions are not insignificant. In fact, it can actually inspire bigger movements.
You know, girls, it's admirable that you're so passionate about this, but individual actions alone won't solve the climate crisis. Think about this. Only 57 oil, gas, coal and cement companies are directly responsible for 80% of global CO2 emissions since the 2016 Paris Agreement. That's like trying to mop up an overflowing river with a sponge. As much as I respect those environmental advocates you mentioned, they too admit that personal choices won't solve these systemic issues. Zing, I know that Michael Mann has emphasised he chooses to live sustainably, but he insists that systemic policy changes are essential. He argues that oil companies push the narrative for personal responsibility to deflect blame from themselves, and in his view, real change requires pressuring governments and corporations, not just individual lifestyle tweaks. Without large-scale political and economic shifts, consumer actions are, well, just drops in the ocean. I think we need to take a closer look at what drives large-scale change. While I get the idea of conscious consumerism, there's this thing called the collective action problem. The collective action problem describes how the combined effects of individual actions can lead to unintended outcomes. This issue cannot be addressed by any one individual or group acting alone. Instead, meaningful action on climate change requires coordinated efforts and support from many stakeholders. In the context of climate change, the collective action problem arises when cumulative impact of individual actions leads to unintended environmental consequences, such as global warming. Addressing climate change effectively requires a coordinated approach, where multiple actors like governments, businesses, communities and individuals work together rather than acting alone. Take, for example, fast fashion companies like Shein, Zara and H&M, who produce enormous volumes of cheap clothing which promotes a wear once and bin culture. The fashion industry alone is responsible for around 8-10% of global carbon emissions and significant water pollution. Even if consumers were to buy fewer clothes or switch to sustainable brands, that's not enough to counteract the massive environmental impact created by these companies' high-speed, high-volume productions. There needs to be a change in the business paradigm. Both production processes and consumer attitudes need to change. This requires involvement from all stakeholders. The industry has to invest in cleaner technology. Fashion brands need to construct newer, more environmentally friendly business models. Consumer attitudes must change, and policymakers must change legislation and global business rules. Ultimately, fast fashion giants only start making changes when governments and environmental groups pressure them with stricter regulations, proving that real impacts require systemic intervention. See, girls, I see what you're saying and do agree with consumer choices and demand play a role. But consider this. Research on behaviour change highlights that environmental habits are harder to adopt when there's no contextual factors, such as infrastructure, to support them. It's not just about making choices, it's about whether these choices are realistic and sustainable long term. Studies have shown that moments of change, like moving homes or starting new jobs, create opportunities to establish greener habits. These are called midstream interventions, whereby companies and local governments can make eco-friendly options more accessible and appealing. But without those systems in place, individual efforts struggle to gain traction. It's like asking people to walk on a path that hasn't been built. Individual actions do build momentum, but they need policy and corporate backing to have a lasting impact. Research shows that countries with stringent environmental policies, like carbon taxes, could support the transition to a climate neutral economy by 2050 and achieve the objectives of the European Green Deal, reaching a net reduction of greenhouse gas emissions by 55% by 2030. So yes, our choices do matter, but they're most effective when they're paired with systemic shifts.
I love the enthusiasm, girls, but I actually agree with your mother. These examples are only drops in the bucket compared to the scale of climate change. Most corporations won't make green shifts unless it directly benefits their own bottom line. In fact, the Harvard Business Review describes how companies greenwash, where they present an eco-friendly facade just to appease consumer demands without changing their core practices. Many companies actually end up increasing their overall sales through the use of greenwashing. They do this by increasing their sustainability on just one product line that they offer, whilst keeping all the others the same. Consumers who believe that the company is meeting their CSR targets and acting in the public's best interest, therefore are more inclined to purchase from these companies. And it goes even deeper too. Firstly, it may make people reduce their consumption of sustainable products, as they're cautious around suspected greenwashing, even if this isn't the case, increasing the magnitude of the intention behaviour gaps. Then there's the issue of moral licensing. These consumers who've been led to believe they made a sustainable consumption choice by companies may believe that it then justifies them to make another one which is more unsustainable. And let's not forget about rebound effects either. Economists argue that when people adopt greener practices, they often end up increasing consumption in other areas. For instance, someone might buy an electric car and feel really good about flying more often. This happens a lot with green products. Individuals feel they've done enough and overall consumption barely changes. This phenomenon is so common it even has a name, the Jevons paradox. These company shortcuts can therefore increase overall consumption, which is obviously not sustainable, even though the company marketing strategies may make it appear to be so. Real change often requires laws that prevent companies from taking shortcuts, or the issues can get even more out of hand, even if consumers are intending to live sustainably. Take the European Union's Green Deal or the Paris Agreement, for example. It mandates stricter emissions regulations across industries, which leads to far greater reductions than any single person's decision to reduce plastic usage. These regulation changes are essential to take some of the pressures off consumers, who only have so much cognitive bandwidth and struggle to remember every small action they should take. It's like adding a dam to control the flow of pollution. Without the dam, consumer efforts alone can only do so much. Girls, you sure have good points, but let's remember the concept of tragedy of the commons. When people don't see others acting sustainably, they're less motivated to act sustainably themselves. The Journal of Environmental Psychology found that while people care about climate change, they often wait for institutions to take the first step. Ziying, I think that Cripps' theory of weak collective responsibility still holds against the challenges, and that groups drive change, but only when they work together in organised, impactful ways. So yes, actions might inspire, but it's coordinated, large-scale efforts that make a real difference. Think of it like a football team. One player can't win the game. It takes teamwork and strategy to win. Whilst it's great for each individual to be conscious of the impacts of their choices, it may be more impactful to push for bigger structural changes to achieve a meaningful change. It's estimated that having the right policies and infrastructure in place can influence behaviour so much that it may reduce greenhouse gas emissions by up to 70% by 2050. Meaningful change needs to be brought by regulations, corporate accountability, and shifts in political will. And maybe this is what we should all be focusing on, trying to appeal for and change. Without large-scale cooperation, it would be like trying to push a boulder up a hill with a feather.
At the end of our podcast, we would like to state that change starts with one person. It starts with one drop. As individuals, you are not a drop in the ocean. You are the entire ocean in a drop. Individual actions may seem small, but they're essential in building momentum for collective and systemic change. While we acknowledge that individuals alone may be insufficient, individuals, corporations, and governments together can ultimately solve climate change issues. So, for the next step as an individual, maybe choose a reusable bag or support a sustainable brand.